Good morning. Nice to see everyone and a very warm welcome to you. For those of you who don't know me, I think everyone knows me here, but that's good. Anyway, I'm Douglas and a very warm welcome to you. Nice to see so many faces, and I think a few more people will come in a minute. I don't think the 10:30 bus has arrived yet, but that's my old joke. But it's a glorious day because we are here together to honor our Lord Jesus Christ. So before we go into anything, let's just open in prayer and bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with grateful hearts. Lord, we are thankful for the gift of this new day and the opportunity to gather together, Lord, in your presence. Father, we pray now that you would quiet our minds and open our hearts and help us to focus on you. Lord, may this service on this Sunday morning bring glory to your name and encouragement to your people, Lord. Fill this place with your peace, your joy and your spirit. Bless every song that we sing, Lord, every word spoken and every person gathered here today. Father, teach us, renew us, and draw us close to you and to one another. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Okay, so today's theme, we are continuing with the key components of the Sermon on the Mount that can be found in Matthew's Gospel. And today, we're looking at trusting in God through teachings on money, possessions, and where we place value. Okay? We've got not one, but two. We've got a double act today. Brilliant double act. So Darren and Andy are going to bring the word to us and praise God for everything that he's put in their hearts.
Good morning. It's good to be here, and I trust that today will be hopefully be helpful for us all. I've already read the passage this morning a little earlier, just before the group led us in worship. Then that was from the NIV. But before we start, I just want to read the passage again, but I'm going to read from a slightly more modern translation, and I think the words should hopefully be on the screen in a minute. Stop storing up riches here, where moths and rust can destroy them, and burglars can break in and steal them. Instead, put your energy into what lasts, heavenly treasures that are safe from decay and theft. Wherever your money and focus are, that is where your heart will be too. Your eyes are the windows to your soul. If your focus is clear and full of belief, your whole body will be filled with light. But if your eyes are focused on the wrong things, you will be in deep darkness. You can't worship two gods at once. You will inevitably love one and hate the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. May God bless that word to us this morning. Disclosure, I felt quite nervous when Sat asked Darren and I to help lead today, partly. I've not done anything like this for a long time, so bear with me, and we'll need you to bear with me because there's parts during today where we're going to be asking some questions and want some participation, so bear with, it's been a while, but also because of the subject, the heading at the bottom of the slide earlier of finance matters. It's not an easy topic to be given. Before diving into the passage, we just want to clarify a couple of things. This isn't a fundraising talk. The scaffolding outside wasn't purposefully put there as part of the package for today, so it's not a fundraising talk. We're not talking about tithing, and this isn't specifically aimed at thinking about the money we give to church. We are in a series of messages from the Sermon on the Mount about things that matter. How we think about and approach different aspects of our lives in response to what God has done for us through his Son, Jesus, and what he keeps doing for us through his Spirit. Today's passage is another part of that, on money or finance. And we hope it's a message for us all, regardless of our own financial position. Money is an area that touches nearly every part of our life. It can impact our decisions, our hopes, and can cause stress and worry. Just to help to bring that to life, by show of hands, has anyone thought about money any time in the last week? That could be even just choosing to buy something or paying a bill. It comes up everywhere. Hands up again, anyone who's worried about money at any point this week, whether for yourselves, for people you know, or even at work. I have. Money touches nearly every part of our life. But that's no surprise to God. God knows all things. He knows us too, and he doesn't shy away from it. In fact, in Scripture, there are over 2,500 references to money in the Bible. I'm sure some of those stories will be familiar to us. And if we follow them, they can be a blueprint or a guide that can help us handle money. Scripture's covering subjects like budgeting, investing, and debt. Things that may feel really practical, but they can also be really spiritual. And he does that because he wants the best for us, to give us that guide so we can live lives to the full. How we approach money or the stewardship of money and wealth matters, just as how we approach other aspects of our life that we've been covering in this series. We matter to God, so how we live matters to him. And so does our attitude to money and our perspective of it. In today's scripture, we'll hopefully unpack together what Jesus said directly about money, and specifically thinking about what we value. To kind of warm us up and kick us off, I'm going to ask Bethan and Isaac to come up and to help with two things. Bethan and Isaac, I'll turn this on. So two things. The first thing is a question for you both. I think you might get the question on the screen in a minute as well. So, if, and it's a big if, okay? We just play along. This is not real. I have not got a big checkbook. But if I gave you £1 million today, what would you spend it on?
I think I'll start off with what the right answer is.
I meant to say, there's no right or wrong answers.
Well, I think I'd give probably quite a large proportion to my family because, you know, they've supported me my whole life and they're kind of like my foundation. In terms of the more fun things, though, I think I'd probably buy myself some nice clothes, and probably put some money towards savings for later on, and maybe an Arsenal season ticket as well.
Oh. I was going to say, I hope the clothes weren't going to be an Arsenal kit, but you mentioned that word. So Bethan, your turn. If I was to give you £1 million, what would you spend it on?
I'm not sure if I'd give you any. I'm deciding. I'm still deciding. I probably would give family some. And then I think I'd save most of it for, like, a house, future boring stuff. And then I'd probably spend quite a bit on, like, nice things like clothes and, like, tickets for, like, matches, concerts, like, things like that. That's probably what I'd do.
Cool. I said I wanted you to do two things. The second thing was to ask the congregation. I would say ask the audience, because that feels like the millionaire theme, but I think the concept of an audience doesn't really work in a church family. So we could ask the congregation, if you were given £1 million today, what would you spend it on? have a little think. If you put your hand up, our roaming reporters will come and ask you. Again, no right or wrong answers. But some answers would be nice. Yeah.
I think I spent some of it abroad in terms of mission, particularly in Mozambique, where there are a number of projects, Christian projects, reaching that particular nation. I would travel a bit more widely than I have been for the last few years, and I would try to find enterprises in the UK, not just for young people, but for those who are ostracized and require a bit of input, financially and otherwise.
Thank you. So, there's a hand at the back.
But to be very practical, I'll buy a house away from everybody else, away from people, in a very far away place with a big garden, which I would enjoy, a proper home theater system, proper room dedicated for that, a nice pickup truck, heavy-duty pickup truck, and life away from city. And then after all that, then I'll think of supporting a mission organization, because practically, that's the chain of thinking. Sorry, don't look at me as a minister at this time.
So I would invest the whole lot in the best interest that I could get for it. Ooh. I would then live off the interest, but I'd halve it, put half the interest back in to keep it growing. But I would live off the interest and basically live off someone else's money.
Uh-huh. You've been planning this one. Good answer. Any more hands?
Do we have a check ready? You must tell us that.
I was at Spring Harvest once where they gave everyone £5, but I haven't got lots of £5 down here.
I would pay off my children's mortgages.
Excellent.
And the student debt of my granddaughter for a start, and then there would be plenty for good causes and other things.
Brilliant, thank you. Oh, Dennis. We should have got you a second mic.
I have a lot of really noble things that I would do with £1 million, but I have to get my priorities in order right now, so I would offer bonuses to Tottenham Hotspur players so that they make sure that they get out of relegation, so that they win tomorrow.
Okay, excellent. Thank you, Bethan. Oh, Margaret.
Well, as you all know, when we start doing this, Rich T Community Club, Kate and I didn't know I was going to Haverhill to see what these people do in Haverhill. And there's this lady, she wanted to join. And I also went to Forborn. And I met this nice...
We want to know if you get £1 million, what will you do?
Will you invest it in the Rich Tea Club?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Thank you.
Oh, by Tom Cake Shop.
Ah, Tom Cakes. So we've gone from Rich Tea Biscuits to Tom's Cake on a Sunday afternoon. Thank you very much. Excellent. Thank you all for participating. There'll be other opportunities during the morning. And some really good answers. Some answers that I mentioned there was 2,500 references to money in Scripture. And they do reference things like investing. So it's really good to hear some answers there. I'm going to hand over to Darren.
This is tag team this morning, okay? So... Jacob, I don't know if I can have the next slide, please. Excellent. Jacob's going to come up now, aren't you, Jacob? And Jacob is going to read out the passage one more time. And what I'd really like you to have a think about when he's reading this out is there are lots of contrasts that are mentioned in the passage. Okay? So can we go back one? Sorry, giving the answers away. There we go. No problem, Julian. Hopefully nobody saw that. If you did, I won't accept any of those answers. I need different ones. Okay? So, Jacob's going to read it out. Have a good listen and see if you can note down or think of any contrasts that are mentioned in the passage. Thanks, Jacob.
Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light is within you, is darkness. How great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one, the one, and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both money and God.
Thank you, Jacob. So before we flip on to the next slide, anybody notice any contrasts that were mentioned there in the passage? Absolutely. Those things which are temporary and those which are permanent and last forever. Thank you. Light and darkness. Thank you.
Love and hate.
Love and hate. You can't take it with you. You're absolutely right. Yeah. So with earthly treasures, when we depart this mortal coil, we will not be able to take any of that with us, but those things that we store up that are of more value and worth heavenly. Anyone else? There aren't. Yep. Okay, thank you. Yes, the attitude of the heart and attitude. And Andy, devote and despise. Very good. This is doing well, actually. We can put the next slide on there now, Jacob. Yeah, you're cheating. You got a head start. Okay, that's good. So, is it about this one, Margaret?
When we go to heaven.
Yes. Amen. Amen. We are, aren't we? Yep. Thank you for that. Right. Could I have the next slide now, please? We're going to go back to a bit of audience participation here. Okay. So I'm not turning this into an auction house. Okay. This is a bit of fun. Okay. So I'm going to invite bids. Okay. This is a football trading card. It's about that size, I would say. Looks massive there on the screen, doesn't it? But it's about that size. Fit in a wallet. It's about credit card size. So, Jacob, you can't enter this yet. Or you, Isaac. How much will you give me for this trading card, this football trading card? Nothing at all. Yep. Absolutely. For some people, yeah, it would just be clutter, wouldn't it? Yeah. What do I want with that? Where do I put it? Put it straight in the bin if somebody gave it to me. Anyone want to offer me more than nothing? £3. Thank you. Yes. £121,000. Okay. If I get anyone who bids more than that, I will be astonished. However, somebody might want to offer me more than that. Does anybody want to offer me more than £121,000?
Please, somebody offer
Graham's now panicking. Anyone any more than £121,000? Going, gone. Sold to the man in the green jumper, who does actually have more money than sense on this occasion. I'm amazed we got that up. This card is not valued anywhere near that amount. But if somebody would have given me £4,500 for it, and then they went and sold it this afternoon, they would have made themselves £500. That trading card is estimated to be worth £5,000. Okay, Jacob, next slide, please. Oh, right. Okay, this is a mid-1970s photograph. Bit faded now. Found in a dusty box a few weeks ago. Just for nostalgia as to the kind of tone, the colour tone that you used to get in 70s photos. Who will give me one pence for this? Would anyone give me a penny for this? Who said they'd give me a penny for it? Thank you, Dawn. Ah, Dawn's going to give me 10p for this faded old 1970s photograph. Thank you very much. A pound. Wow. Are you? Okay, all right. Well, it's found in, it just found in a dusty old box, apparently. No, a pound, okay. Nobody's going to offer me more than a pound for this. Okay. Right, I'm going to ask somebody to fictitiously give me a little bit more than a pound. Come on. £10, thank you very much. Rachel, £50. Oh, I think I might have to cash in here. Right, okay. I am not going to take £50 for this photograph. If you give me £100, I'm not going to take it for this photograph. This photograph is of me on the far right, my sister on the left, and my dear departed dad. I'm not going to take well over £100 for this. Someone wants to offer me £1 million. Maybe we can do a deal. yeah, let's think about that. The whole point of that fictitious exercise is, what do we value? It's not what somebody will give you for it. Somebody would give me 0p for the trading card. Somebody in the know might say, I'll give you £4,500 for that because I can make £500 on it this afternoon. The photograph, to me, priceless because it holds such deep value for me. So what do we put our value in? I'll ask that question to all of us. What do we value? Okay, can I have the next slide, please? Okay. So, I want you to have a think at the moment, just for a short while, as to some examples of earthly treasure and some examples of heavenly treasure. We had a comment earlier, you can't take it with you. So, with that thought, just spend 30 seconds to have a think about a few things maybe that are earthly treasures that we maybe put our value in on earth, and those things which are more permanent and are priceless perhaps. Anyone want to shout out of an example of earthly treasures that we store up or aim to store up? Jewelry. Excellent. House, yep, where we live, property that we have. Fast car, get in. Investing in our family. Yep. Sorry, Douglas? TV. Yeah. He's what collection? Tent collection. A tent collection. Now that's something you'll never find me joining. Okay? Nigel is very welcome to his tents. Because that's what he values. I don't. Okay? Hey, sorry? Yes, achievements. Yeah, certificates. Achievements that we make. Milk bottle collection. I'm learning a lot this morning about what people value. This is fascinating. This is. Can anybody top a milk bottle collection? No? Your vinyl collection. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's had a real comeback, hasn't it? Some of those original vinyls now worth a lot of money. Is it something that we value, Margaret? Is it something that we...
About money.
About money. Go on then.
Yes, you need to take your doctor's vets.
Yep. Okay, that's a really good one, that. Brilliant one from Margaret there. So we value our pets, don't we, some of us?
Status.
Okay, good examples there. Can I have the next slide, please? Okay, so I just put some examples up there. You've come up with many more. So we had your career under the, these are the examples for earthly treasures, savings, monetary savings, investments, the lifestyle that you live, the holidays that you go on, image and the security that you get or feel like you get from all of these things. As opposed to those examples of treasures in heaven. These are not material things that we accumulate, but they reflect the state of one's heart. Just acts of service and kindness, helping the poor, the needy, the marginalized. Faithfulness, standing firm in faith when despite hardships, and there can be money hardships. And righteous living, praying in secret, not in public, loving our enemies and doing good works. Okay, a question. If you can go on to the next slide. Yeah. So before I hand back to Andy, a question here. A statement, first of all, treasures on earth aren't always bad, but they are temporary. They don't last. I read in preparing for this a question. And it said, if somebody looked at your bank account statement or your calendar, what would they say you value most? What do we spend our money on, and what do we spend our time on? Okay, I'm going to hand back to Andy now. Thanks, Andy.
Not good. Sorry.
Thank you.
Thanks, Darren. I just want to spend a couple of minutes unpacking the middle part of that passage, verses 22 and 23, or the eye part. I'm just going to read it again. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy or good, your whole body is full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy or bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? We might say, kind of casually or as a phrase, oh, that person's got a good eye. And it might mean different things in different contexts. Like, in an optician's, a good eye might mean you've got really good eyesight, like 20/20 eyesight. We might say someone's got a good eye for detail. That might mean spotting patterns or outliers, or if you imagine like a jigsaw and you're looking for that one piece, someone might spot the missing piece in amongst all the bits. But Jesus uses the idea of a good eye more specifically. And in this part of the Sermon on the Mount, sandwiched in this area thinking about wealth and value, he uses the metaphor of an eye to speak to our relationship, to a relationship with money and possessions. For Jesus, the imagery of the healthy versus the unhealthy eye, or a clear eye versus a clouded eye, or a good eye versus a bad eye, for him that imagery is more like generosity versus stinginess. The good eye represents generosity, a generous person who imitates God's generosity to others, while the bad eye can symbolize a self-consumed person who takes instead of gives and neglects the need of others. We can kind of say that our spiritual health can be assessed by looking at the way we use our material possessions, the way we value them. And that can feel quite tough when we reflect on that. And it certainly has for me in preparing for today. Particularly when we go on and think about the second part of the metaphor. Healthy eyes let in light. Generosity can light up God's own image in us, an image we desire to show because of our love for God. Bad eyes don't let in light, and therefore it's full of darkness. Stingy or ungenerous ways of living that might focus on greed, our own self-interest, that can snuff out the light of God's image within us. Wealth itself is neither light nor darkness. It's not good or bad. But how we use it can be. Loving and desiring wealth can be like being in darkness. To love wealth instead of your neighbour and instead of God can be like switching off the eye or the lamp and to be in darkness. Spiritual vision or clarity is our capacity to see what God wants us to do, and to see the world from his point of view, his generous point of view. One not rooted in self-interest, greed, or comparison to others. And it's in that context that we are challenged about our own attitude to and our own use of money, wealth, and possessions. Just move on a slide. Thanks. That challenge of what we value, and whether it's a stingy, self-interested way or a generous, clear, and good way, may be relatable to other aspects of our life too, and some that we touched on, some of the answers to the question Darren was asking. Things like status and achievements, and those things can often lead to comparison, and comparison can just lead to dissatisfaction and darkness. And I think that's probably more evident in today's world. Social media, so many more eyes into what everyone else is doing, and that can just turn into a desire for more likes, more recognition. And in turn, we might use our wealth and possessions in unhealthy ways to try and fuel that desire rather than God's loving, servant-filled, outward and generous perspectives. To wrap up these passages in the middle on the eyes. Eyes either let light in or they don't, and we have darkness. What does get let in, or light, or the lack of it, has an impact. Our vision, or more so our perspectives and desires, shape our whole life. Will that be shaped by greed for money, wealth, and maybe status, a stingy self-interest which may distort everything, or will our perspectives be shaped by generosity in the way that God is generous to us, generous in more ways than we realise, and in ways that we know cost him sacrificially? I'm going to pass back to Darren.
And the next one. Thank you. Okay. So, it's interesting in the Bible that Jesus doesn't say you should not have both money and him as master. He says you cannot. You cannot. It's impossible for money, possession, and wealth and him to be your master. It's either one or the other. So what we're talking about here is the fact that this isn't just about a behaviour that we have. This is about an allegiance. Where is our allegiance? Who is our allegiance to? It's quite hard hitting, isn't it? So he's not talking just about money. He's talking about, what do we ultimately value? What do we value in our life? Okay, next one, please. Okay. What do we rely on for peace? Is it financial security? Or is it God? Very easy to say that, isn't it? Very easy to say it, but I know it's much, much more difficult to truly believe in that and trust in that. Okay, next one, please, Jacob. A couple of questions as we sort of start to bring things to a close. I found it quite challenging, I have to say, very challenging, bringing this message this morning. I think that we have to ask ourselves a question, don't we? Pose the question. It's to, what do I trust the most? I have to be honest with myself. What would be the hardest thing for me to give up? And where do I really store my treasure? I'll come back to you in a minute on that one, Margaret. Okay. So, what I'm going to ask Andy to do now, Andy's going to bring around some paper and pen for everybody. We've got two baskets at the front here. One basket, if people feel as though they want to write something on a piece of paper that is maybe an earthly treasure that perhaps we value too much, that we feel challenged over, and that we want to give to God, and we want to pray, I'd ask you to come forward and put it into the earthly treasures basket. And for those that have been challenged this morning for the use of their money or the use of their time as well, and maybe where we need to value things more, that are more of a heavenly nature, that are more permanent, I'd ask you again to come to the front and just put your piece of paper folded up into the heavenly treasures, and something that you maybe are challenged about and you want to pray about. Lord, is this something that I should be thinking about? Is this something that I should be doing? We've heard already in the service earlier about the numerous ways in which we can gift of our money and our time. There's the money that we give to the church or the communion fund. We know we support the Sierra Leone mission. Carol has brought to us this morning the Zambezi mission. We know the church supports CAP. There may be other charities that we're not directly linked to through the church, but that we individually do or maybe think about supporting. And then there's obviously giving locally. And it's not just to reinforce, it's not just about money, this, it's about our time as well. We sung two songs earlier about honouring God. Does our use of money and time honour God? We talked about it magnifying God. We also sung about Jesus, you're my all, you're the best, and all I once held dear I count but loss. So just in the silence in the next couple of minutes, if anybody does want to write anything down and come to the front afterwards and just pop them in the baskets, they will go straight into recycling afterwards. So I'm not interested, Andy's not interested. Anything that you write in there, whatever basket it goes in, there's only one person, and that's God, that's interested. So I'll hand over to Andy now.
Before
he hands back to me, and we'll close the session.
Yeah, so just in the quiet, let's just take a moment, as Darren was saying, thinking about the prompts that are on the screen. And say, don't worry about what you write, no one's going to look at anything. Think about those earthly treasures, maybe, that you've been stirred to think about whether we should be storing them up or capturing those heavenly treasures that God has put on your heart to use for Him. So let's just take that moment now, quietly, honestly before God, and just reflect. What do I trust most right now? What would I struggle to give up? And do I really need it? Where is my treasure actually being stored?
Okay, I'm conscious of the time, so I'm not going to prolong this. If anybody wants to come forward now, that's great. If you want to wait for our closing song, our closing hymn, before you want to come forward and place something in one of the baskets, that's also good. And if you don't feel as though you can come forward and put something in one of the baskets, that's also fine. You may have something that God has spoken to you about that you just want to keep in your heart and you want to think about and pray on later. That's also good. What I would ask is that anybody that does come forward and put something in here, that's not the end. That we don't walk away from here and think, right, that's good, that's done, Sunday morning service is done, I can put that to one side now. Be genuine about this. I'll just wait for everybody to sit down before we close in prayer and have our final song. Okay, that's great. Thank you. Jacob, I wonder if you could just put the next slide up for me, please. One more. Lovely, thank you. Well, what I want to say before I close in prayer, before we move on to our final song, is that I'm conscious that there will be people here who have struggles at the moment in terms of money and maybe something that we've said. There may be people that feel angry about their current situation and how that connects monetary wise. There may be people that have genuine fears over money. The whole talk might have been alien to you. If any of those are you and you do want to speak to anybody after the service, please do come and see either Sat or one of the leaders of the church. But I want you to also know and listen to the words of the final song that we'll play. We've got a clip we're going to show in a minute. And that's about how God values you. Nothing to do with possessions, wealth, status. It's about how God values you and how precious you are to him. So I'm just going to close in prayer. Lord, help us to value what lasts. Free us from the grip of greed and fear. Teach us to trust you more than what we own or earn. Lord, help us to value what lasts. Free us from the grip of greed and fear. Teach us to trust you more than what we own or earn. Amen.
Those words really, really spoke to me just now. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for meeting with us today. Lord, we thank you for your word, your presence, and the fellowship we have shared together. Lord, as we leave this place, help us to carry your peace, love, and truth into our homes, our workplaces, our schools, and our communities. Strengthen us to live faithfully, serve generously, and reflect the love of Jesus Christ in all we do. Protect and guide us throughout the week, Lord, week ahead. Encourage those who are weary, those who are hurting in any way. Comfort them and fill each of us with hope and joy through the Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, and lives in us. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and always. Amen. Thank you very much.